So we'll start to read in John chapter 3, verse number 1. It says this: "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you did not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?'" And we will stop there. We see that there's many qualities of Nicodemus that actually we possess as well. Maybe not the specific question, but the questioning in general and in where he's coming from, we have the same issue many times. You see, because Nicodemus comes to him, he asks a question, Jesus answers some other way, the way Jesus often does. He rarely seems to directly answer the question, but Jesus does that. It's one of those great things about Jesus. And we see that he answers his question, and he says, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, well, I don't get it. How can it be? How can one be born again? And the issue is that Nicodemus is coming from a natural point of view, a worldly point of view. And this is where he's like us many times. He looks at the situation and he says, okay, Jesus, I'm looking at it, and born once, born again, don't get it. It doesn't make sense. How can a man, that's got to be really painful if that's going to really happen. I just don't get it, and so it can't be. How? And he's coming from a natural point of view. He's coming from a fleshly point of view, a worldly point of view. But Jesus is coming from someplace completely different. Jesus isn't talking about this world and all of its natural laws and all of its natural principles. Jesus understands them, but that's not what he's concerned about. He's saying a man must be born again. He must be spiritually born. And Jesus seems to do this all the time. He seems to talk about the spirit world like it's more real than the physical world. And you see, we have the exact same problem as Nicodemus, because most of the time we think that the natural world is more real as well. But if we look at Jesus over and over, he just seems to ignore the natural world. And he seems to be saying the spirit world is more real. And Nicodemus is trapped firmly in the natural world, with all of its laws, with all of its principles, with all of the things that God created, and they exist, and gravity is still gravity. It's a natural law. All the laws and the principles that have been discovered by man through the years, they're all natural. All things, the theory of relativity works, right? The special theory, the general theory, all those theories work. And if we think only of those things, we're missing what Jesus seems to be referring to as the biggest piece. He says, he ignores the natural stuff, and he says, unless a man is born again, and in fact he even says, in verse number 5, he says, Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit. He says, I see the water. I see where you're coming from. But there's something greater. There's something bigger. The spirit world is actually just as important, if not more significant, in Jesus' eyes. It happens all throughout the Bible. We're studying a little bit about this in the adult Bible study as well. And even from the beginning of man, where man first sinned, and the first directive to man was, if you eat of the tree of life, you will surely die. And of course they eat and they don't die physically, but spiritually they died that day. It says, the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Because God, from the very first man, the spirit realm meant something huge to God. And we, because we're bombarded with so many things in the natural world, we become like Nicodemus. We begin to say, how can these things be? How? I only operate in the natural. I don't understand what's going on in the physical. And Jesus says, the spirit is important. The spirit world is important. The spirit world is where things are happening. Even if you don't see them in the natural, there is significance. We need the eyes of Jesus to see into that spirit world. Otherwise, we will be trapped into believing everything that the natural laws and the natural principles tell us. Do you realize that when God does a miracle, he's basically, to oversimplify, he's basically suspending the natural laws and bringing that spiritual... When God does things, he brings things from that spirit realm, and he basically says the natural things aren't going to hold for a moment. When Jesus walked on water, physically that's impossible. When the sun turned back, that's physically impossible. It's against all the laws of nature. It's against all the laws of science, against all the laws of planetary motion. It's against all the laws of the ability to stand on a solid surface, to walk on water. But Jesus suspended all of those things. And this is what he's talking to Nicodemus about. He's saying, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit, because the spirit world is real. And he's telling Nicodemus, you got to get out of just the natural thinking. You got to get out of just the natural thinking, because it's not everything. It might be big to you, but God tells us he does things in the spirit realm, and they manifest themselves in the natural realm. And so we have the struggle, and it's a very real one. Most things that we deal with, when we go see the doctor, they're very good at telling us natural things. They understand how natural things work. Without a doubt, they understand how natural things work. Engineers, scientists, all of these people, they explain natural things. Mathematicians explain natural things. They don't explain spiritual things. And we are a people of the Spirit. We are a people of the Spirit, and so we cry out to God for God to suspend those natural things, to perform miracles in our lives, because we believe in him to do those things. We believe that he operates in those ways for us, and we call out, if we just looked at all the natural things, we would have to agree with Nicodemus, how can a man be born again? How can I ever get out of this situation? How can things ever change? How can that person change? How can I obtain these things? How? There's no way. Everything is stacked up against me. There's no natural way, it seems. And if we're only thinking about what's natural, we will miss the very thing that God could be doing in the Spirit. He goes on to say that, in verse number 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we can birth things of the flesh. We can birth things of our own. How many times do we do that? We come up with a plan, don't necessarily consult God, might not be God's plan, but we can make it happen. We're very resourceful people. Here in America, we have the resources, thank God. We have money often. We have connections often. We can make things happen. And that which is born of us and not of God is maintained by us. That which is born of the flesh is maintained by the flesh, because God doesn't really want any part of the flesh. But he says there are things that are born of the Spirit. When God births things in the Spirit, the beautiful thing is God maintains it. God is the one who takes care of it. God is the one who brings it to pass. God is the one who keeps it as well. We want to be part of things that are born of God, born of the Spirit, not born of our understanding, not born of our efforts, not born of our resources apart from God, not born of all those things, but born of the Spirit. Because when God births something, he takes care of it. He makes sure it exists. Although man will come against it, if God births it, God maintains it. We have a lesson of this in David. Do you remember how David was when pre-king days? It seemed like he didn't do anything to exert himself, to push his kingdom forward, to push his becoming king forward. At every turn, David seemed to just back away. When it was the right time in the natural eyes to obtain the kingdom by force, to kill Saul even, he basically said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Is it time to go up to the kingdom even after Saul dies? He asks God, is it time to go up? And God says, no, it's not time to go up. You'll get 1/12. You'll get Hebron. That's all you'll get. You won't get all of Israel at this time. You'll get Hebron. And David's like, okay. Because David realized it was God's promise. And so God's going to take care of it. David realized it's not me that has to struggle with this. If it's born of the Spirit will help bring it to pass. The Spirit will maintain it. And that's the way David operated even after he was in the kingdom, when Absalom rose against him. He did something contrary to all natural belief. He basically let it happen. He didn't rise up with his mighty men and go after him. He didn't do this. He didn't try and obtain the kingdom. He was basically operated from a principle of God gave the promise. If God wants to take it away, let him take it away. If God wants to keep me as king, he'll keep me as king. Because what's born of the flesh is the flesh. If Absalom got his kingdom through his revolt, that would have been of the flesh, and he would have had to maintain it that way. David rested. Do you see the rest that's possible? If we come to a place where we understand what God is doing and we get involved in it. Let me say it again. If we understand what God is doing, we look around and we see this is where God is moving. Let's become part of what God is doing. Because if God is doing it, then he will maintain it. If it's what we're doing, we will have to maintain it. If Absalom became king, he would have always been looking over his shoulder. He would have always had the suspicious eye like Saul. When it wasn't of God, then Saul was always looking around. He became jealous of this person, throwing spears at David here. He was just so concerned about his kingdom. What are the people going to think? What are the people going to do? Samuel, come with me so that they could see me worship. It was always about somebody else because he was always worried. He knew God wasn't with him. If we know God's with us, we can rest. We can be at peace. We could be in a place where we let God take care of things. It doesn't mean we do nothing. It doesn't mean there's no activity, because sometimes we do have to work and work hard. But we could still rest. And if God's doing it, if God's called us to do it, if we stand on his word, we stand on the word that comes to us through because he wants to talk to us personally. He wants to have a personal revelation with us. If we stand on his word that comes to us, God will bring it to pass. But we know how to make things happen. We know how to make things happen because we are resourceful. We've gone through many difficult things, and we know how to come through them. A lot of times, you might lean on God a little bit, but you might lean on a lot of other things as well. And we know how to come through them. And sometimes that becomes a hindrance to our hearing the voice of God, because we need to lean on His Spirit, because the spirit world is where God does His amazing things. Verse number 8 says this: the wind, it blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit often works in ways that are mysterious. We can't see the wind. We don't know where it comes from. Sometimes I'm at work, and I used to be a runner, and I used to look outside because whenever I was running, it doesn't matter which way I ran. If I ran west on the way back, the wind was always in my face. If I ran north and on the way back, the wind was always in my face when I'm most tired. I got to get home, I got to get back. And whenever way I went, the wind was always in my face on the way back. And so I would look out the window before I would go, and I could try and see, where's the wind today? But it was never really apparent. I could see the wind blowing in the flags, but then on the ground, often it was very different because I could not see the wind. And it's like the Spirit. We can't necessarily see what the Spirit is doing, where it's coming from, where it's going. We can't really see it often. We just don't know. It blows where it wishes. And no one can tell where it comes from, and no one can tell where it's going. And this is often the way the Spirit works. We want things. We want to know. We want to know. I want to know that this is going to happen, and I want to know that there's something going on. I want it to be in the natural, is the way we work. This is the way we seem to be wired. I want to know that there's progress. And I want to know that there's something good going on. And I don't want it to be hidden. I want it to be obvious to me. And sometimes the Spirit is doing something deep. And sometimes the Spirit is doing something that we don't understand where it's coming from. We don't understand where it's going. We can't see it. We can't put our fingers on it. We can't explain it. But the Spirit works in this way. Very often. Because the wind blows where it was. We want the wind. We want to see the wind. We would like the wind to have a nice color. Or we would like it to be like it is on the weather map when we watch the weather. Oh, here's the nice jet stream. But it's not like that. The Spirit is not. It blows where it wants. And we can't tell where it's coming from. It's deep. And often, that's the way God begins His work. It's something deep in a person, and we cannot often tell what's going on because deep calls unto deep, right? The Bible says, deep calls unto deep. In Psalm 42, deep calls unto deep. The deep things of the Spirit call unto the deep things of us. We would love for it to be the opposite, because we, like Nicodemus, are very naturally minded. And Jesus keeps saying, no, be spiritually minded. There's something going on, and you might not see it. It might be there in the deep where you can't tell what's going on in the deep by what's going on at the surface. We often see the surface. And God says, deep is calling unto deep. Doing something much deeper, much more foundational than what we can see. Verse 9, Nicodemus shows another side of our humanity. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" How many of us have asked those questions in a different form? How can these things be? God, how are you going to do this? God, why? God, what now? All the questions. How can these things be? We look at the promises of God. We look at our life. We look at the natural. We look at the spiritual. We look at our situation. We look at the Word of God. How can these things be? And we are just like Nicodemus in many areas. How can these things be? It doesn't make sense from a natural point of view. But the spiritual, God is able to suspend all those natural things. This is how it could be. If we're tied and firmly rooted only in the natural, we will always be saying, how, why, how could it be, what will happen, what is God going to do? How can we get out of this situation? From a natural point of view, often there might not be a solution. But God knows how to bring things into fruition that we cannot imagine, because the wind blows where it wants, and we don't often know where it comes from. This is a spiritual law. It comes into being in the natural. If we try and logically understand the things that are going on in the spirit, it will often destroy our faith. If we look at things in the natural, it will often destroy our faith. And we look at things and we look at the past history and we say, well, this is the way it's been in the past. I've been here before and I know where this is going. And no one could deny that your experience is your experience. But you also can't deny that God is able to change those things if we get our eyes off the natural and we look into the spiritual, which is where God wants us to have our eyes as well. Otherwise, we will be like Nicodemus. Jesus then says in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?" Isn't that an interesting comment? Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know? Oh, sure. He kind of busts Nicodemus. What you doing, Nicodemus? I thought you were better than that. I thought you were in a place. But what about us? He's saying, you're mature. You've been Christians for a long time. I've been a Christian for a long time. Are you at this place where you should be mature and yet all your mind is thinking of it? You can't even think of the spiritual things. You can't even realize that the spirit world is more real than the natural. You can't even realize, Nicodemus, that God could do things in the spirit which you don't understand in the natural. Are you really a mature person, Nicodemus? He says, are you really a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? And how about us? Are we really mature Christians and we rely more on the natural than we do the spiritual? I think Jesus has the same question for each and every one of us. And it would be wise to ask yourself that question. Do you rely more on what you see, what you feel, what you touch, what you can sense with your five senses? Or do we rely more on the Spirit? I'm not advocating that we abandon all of our intelligence. We just throw it to the wind. But we live in a spiritual world, even though it looks natural. Remember, the Bible says, you're not citizens of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. You were born of the Spirit, but yet we still often live very much in the natural. We often live very much in the natural. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, there's more. There's a place where God makes things happen. And He starts in the spiritual place. And He brings it to pass in the natural place. And then He tells them in verse number 12, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how are you going to believe? How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I think this is another warning for us. Because there's many people that are unbelieving believers. We believe God, but when it comes to believing Him for better things, greater things, even the promises of God, then we become unbelieving. Unbelieving believers. And He's saying, I've told you these earthly things. How are you gonna, and you don't believe? Many people are in that place. It will never happen to me. Nope. No, it will never happen to me. And you might not say it that way, but in your heart, that's the way it is. I don't think so. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. I've seen this before. This is the way it's going to play out. This is the way. I've told you earthly things and you don't believe is what He's telling you. I've told you, you're negative about all these things. You don't think it's going to happen. And when we're negative about everything, when we're cynical about everything, or many things, it's hard for us to believe the things of the Spirit. Because we've seen things in the flesh and we're cynical about those things. And we're negative about those things. Oh, I'm never going to lose this pain. This thing's never going to get better. The situation's going to be what it is. It is what it is. Natural thinking, not spiritual thinking. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, He says, I'm telling you earthly things. And if you don't believe, how are you going to see the spiritual things? He's saying, get your mind in the spiritual realm, where miracles happen, where great things happen, where God does His work. I know it's not seen, but we believe that God's word is true, and we believe what He says, and we believe His promises, and we believe He's able to do all the things that He says that He's able to do. He's able to keep that which is committed unto Him until that day. We believe these things. And God says, believe in my word. My word is spirit and my word is life. And if we take it just as natural, instead of taking it as spirit, we will have our conundrum. We will have our problem. We will not know necessarily what to do with it because it doesn't make sense all the time, but that is the way the Spirit works. It doesn't work by our natural laws. It works by spiritual laws. And God said, suspend any of the natural laws at any time. Jesus, when he met His disciples after His resurrection, He walks through a wall. Right? That is not possible. But you know that. And if you've ever tried, you probably have gotten hurt. If you've tried to walk through the door with nobody opening it, you know it's not possible. But when Jesus did it, He did it. Because He was in the spiritual world, and the spiritual world does not operate by natural rules. And this is who we are. We are a spiritual people. We're a spiritual body that is wrapped in flesh. We're a spiritual body that's wrapped in flesh. And we have emotions of a soul as well, unfortunately. But we're a spiritual being now. We are born again of the Spirit. And we look to the Spirit to provide everything that is in the Bible, all the promises of God. All the promises of God. You are seated in heavenly places, according to Ephesians. You are seated in heavenly places. Your spirit is seated in heavenly places. You can look around and say, I'm not. The Bible says you are. Your spirit is in heavenly places because this is where God does his work. May we have eyes to see what God is doing in the spirit. May we join him. May we believe for what he is doing. And may we see it manifest here in the natural. May his name be praised through our lives, through all the things that he does. May the world see that we are a different people because what God is doing in our lives. His name be praised.